Visa's Doug Leighton at Think 2017 in New York City. How are you, Doug?
I'm great. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Likewise. Likewise. Hey, here's a topic we haven't talked about in quite a while. EMV.
Yeah.
What's going on here? What's going on in the marketplace? What's the latest here?
Well, so the EMV liability shift happened in October of 2015.
Yep.
So we're about 18 months in, and despite what you might be reading, we're actually ahead of pace for other industrialized countries that have rolled out EMV using market forces as opposed to regulatory intervention.
I mean, that's good to know, because I remember in the beginning, we were talking before the recording that, you know, it was there, but not a lot of retailers were using it because, like, the holiday shopping season, it was too slow at the time. Since then, it's faster and that whole thing.
So. Yeah, issuers are, I think, we're ahead of merchants.
Yeah.
And right now, when you think about it in terms of credit, like 97% of all credit payment volume in the Visa system is on a chip card. 80% of debit volume is on a chip card.
Yep.
And, you know, so we're starting to see some pretty significant chip-on-chip transaction.
Yeah, I think the only place where I'm not using it is at the gas station, but they're not ready for it.
They're not ready, and the liability shift for that was delayed a couple years for that very reason.
Right.
It's a highly complicated, they have to sometimes take the pumps out of the ground to get the chip terminology or the chip terminals into them. So.
Well, anything to get our money, so and pay for gas. Well, that's the world we're living in.
That's right. That's about the only area where you're not seeing it, but another interesting stat, 75% of the chip-enabled merchants are small and medium businesses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not just the Walmarts and the Targets, but in fact, a lot of our small businesses in all of our communities, they're also chip-enabled,
too. That's funny that you say that, because I remember shopping once again, but going to a lot of the local-type stores in my neighborhood, and a lot of them had it pretty early. So I was like, I was really impressed with that.
That's right. That's right.
So that's pretty cool stuff.
So we're making good progress.
Yeah. And that's really good progress. Actually, 18 months. That's really fast.
Yeah.
So fraud migrating to e-commerce.
Yeah.
Is this happening, and what should credit unions do about it?
So it happens. It's happened in every other...
Is it like card not present?
It's card not present. Yeah. That's right. So e-commerce, it has happened in just about every other transition, right? So whether it's Canada, Brazil, others, we've seen pretty steep increases in e-commerce fraud when you close down the face-to-face channel with an EMV chip. That hasn't yet started to happen. It's ticked up just slightly. Fraud on face-to-face has dropped precipitously. It's down 36%. For merchants that have enabled EMV, it's down 58%. It's ticked up a little bit on e-commerce. That should not be a signal, though, as it's not going to happen. Because we know that that's where the criminals are going to start to move, right? That's where the fraudsters are going to start to move. So it's important for issuers now to get ahead of it as best as they can. And I would say two things to focus on. One is look at your authorization strategies closely. It's not the same type of transaction. You're going to see elevated levels of fraudulent attempts. So make sure that you're paying close attention to your fraud and your authorization strategies today.
Okay.
The other thing is to prepare for what we call 3D Secure 2.0. This 3D Secure 1.0 has been in the market for many years. It's known on the Visa side as Verify by Visa. Hasn't gotten the best uptick in the United States. It is much more prevalent internationally. But we've come up with a much better solution for 3D Secure 2.0 that takes 10 times the data that the current 3D Secure uses to make much better authentication decisions. It will be rolled out in April of 2019 fully, but issuers should start planning for it now and make sure that they are fully prepared, because, again, you want to start utilizing as much of the technologies available to us, to us today through your processor, through your current provider of authentication services for e-commerce, and make sure that they're taking advantage of that.
What does that mean for the consumer? What trickles down to us?
What I mean for the consumer is
anything, will you have to do anything different?
You shouldn't have to do anything different.
Okay, good.
In fact, that's the best part of it.
Oh,
and under a typical 3D secure transaction today, you have to enter a passcode. And many consumers don't know what those are. So there's a lot of abandonment. In the new iteration, passcodes are effectively eliminated. And so we take advantage of all of that information that we have to make a much better authentication decision, which then in turn leads to better authorization decisions. And for members of credit unions, it should be a much more seamless process to do e-commerce transactions and to know that they're much safer and secure.
Okay, I fully bought in. All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with the passcode being gone,
that's
fine by me.
We want to take friction out of that transaction as much as possible.
Most definitely. All right, kudos to you on that. Well done. Hey, should credit unions focus on consumer or small business credit programs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Particularly consumer credit amongst credit unions. Right. When we've seen a number of credit unions really put some focus on that, look at their value propositions, roll out new products that may target their mass affluent members, they're seeing double-digit gains in their payment volume growth. So it's really, I think that there is a great time, which is right now, for credit unions to focus on their credit portfolios, consumer credit first, and maybe looking into small business credit as well. The concentration of small business credit in the Visa system is way disproportionately high against the largest issuers, the Capital Ones, the Chases, and others. There's a great opportunity for credit unions to provide that small business credit facility to the very small businesses that they serve in their communities.
Small business is what it's all about these days. I mean, it's the rising trend, at least for credit unions right now. So it's
That's right.
Pretty cool place to be, like you
said. And again, from a consumer credit standpoint as well, I think that members are looking to their credit unions to provide them with compelling value propositions. It doesn't have to be as great as some of the national players. You just got to be in the ballgame. And if you are, I think you'll see double-digit growth.
Heck yeah. What a great opportunity. My goodness. All right. Let's see here. Visa's I'm just reading off the old topic ideas here. Visa's announcement at the GAC, building the next generation of credit union leaders. What's the latest here?
So a couple things on that. One,
you're working with Filene on that.
With Filene, with Filene for the War for Talent Center of Excellence.
Yes.
And then we're also working with Filene and the Cooperative Trust on the Crashers and supporting that. And lastly,
James Marshall was here earlier.
That's right. Yeah. So from the Crasher standpoint, we're looking at ways to expand that program. Okay. In fact, we have a brainstorming session set up just next week where we're going to talk a lot about how we can do even more with the Crashers and how Visa can step up to support that initiative, which I love. I think it is, if there's anything that's like really got me fired up about working with credit unions, just being engaged with those Crashers at GAC. On the War for Talent side, we have our first colloquia, which is a fancy name for a meeting where
group.
We talk about stuff. We have our first colloquia scheduled in the fall where we'll start to roll out some of the findings and some of the research.
Nice.
So that's really exciting. The other thing, too, on the Filene front, we sponsored a minority households incubator, so reaching minority households. And there are 37 credit unions that are participating in that, so we're getting a lot of learning from it. And soon we'll launch the final phase of that, which will disseminate all of that information, all those learnings, so that credit unions can better serve all of the members of their community.
You have a lot on your plate. It's more like a buffet. My gosh.
Well, you know, when you're at a conference like this, you have plenty of buffet opportunities.
Of course.
Yeah,
more ways than one.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all I have. Look at that. That's all we got. Anything else to add to wrap up here? I mean, what's your take on the conference so far? Let's talk about that.
No, this conference is really interesting. I think the way that they provide the opportunity for the attendees to do actionable activities, right? It's not just sitting in a conference room, not just sitting in a ballroom and listening to somebody talk to you. All of the different sessions, particularly in the afternoon, have activities that you can then take what you're learning and bring it back to your credit union. So I really like that about
Practical stuff.
And we're thrilled to be a part of it.
Thank you for that.
Co-op.
Very cool. All right. Well, on that note, thank you very much, Doug.
Thanks, Mike.
Always appreciate you hanging out with us here in the studio lounge.
It's great to talk.